Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets. Okay. This week, I read an article in the Times of Israel dated March 30th, 2025. The article fits in line with our studies of the current prophets, details an evacuation currently taking place in Megiddo. Last week, we spoke of the child king, Josiah, who led religious reforms in Judah. We also spoke of the intrigue of the period, which we will look at in detail tonight. The fall of the instrument of destruction of Samaria, which is the northern capital of the kingdom of Israel, was carried out by the once powerful Assyria. The recent evacuations in Megiddo give historical proof that Israel, under the leadership of King Josiah, rode out. The site is located in the northern section of Israel, Megiddo. But the king of Judah, King Josiah, rode out to confront the Pharaoh of Egypt. And that battle was written about in the book of Kings and Chronicles. It was an actual historical event. And for the first time, they have found relics from that battlefield. The title of that article, Archaeologists Find First Evidence of Epic Biblical Battle at Armageddon. It's a great read. And again, it is on the website for the Times of Israel, so it's fairly recent. You don't have to dig very deep. And it was published, just yesterday. It's a great read. If you're interested in the historical accuracy of the Bible, it's a place to go. The Times of Israel is very good at capturing events that are taking place that pertain to the history of Israel in particular, as well as the present day. So this week, let's have a look at the handout that we have, because it gives us a really good historical background into that time period. And it also, I have an agenda. It also helps us to give us the context of Habakkuk and his book, which I didn't realize rhymed until just now. Okay. After King Josiah was killed in that battle, which by the way, but it is it's in 2 Kings, when Josiah rode out to meet Pharaoh Necho in Megiddo. By the way, the word Megiddo is the actual name. The word that we have called Armageddon is a Latinization or a modification of the original name, which is Megiddo. Just so that that's clear. All right, so if you look at the flyer, you'll notice that the very first king is Jehoahaz, his actual name is Shalom. And he was the fourth son of King Josiah. He was deposed by the very same Pharaoh that we spoke about. And he only lasted 3 months. As we know from the story, Josiah was carried back in his chariot quietly, but he was very clear to the Egyptians that the king had passed away. And Jehoahaz was put in his place. He lasted for 3 months. This is the beginning of the period of the confusion and the downfall of Judah, very rapid downfall. In his place was placed King Jehoiakim. He was born Eliakim. He's the second son of Josiah. And he was coronated by the Pharaoh of Egypt. He made himself a nemesis of the prophet Jeremiah. Because, as you know, and we're going to talk about this a little later, Jeremiah during this period is in Judah and he's doing exactly what God told him to do. He's making pronouncements to the king, to the people, in the temple, in the courtyard, wherever God sends him to do. And the kings, which some of whom were very young, and also who wanted to hang on to power, were not pleased by the words of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, just like Zephaniah, came in talking about how God was going to take away the kingdom. If you're the king, that's not what you want to hear. If you're the high priest, that's not what you want to hear. So Jeremiah set himself up in opposition to the prophets of his day, not in opposition to Habakkuk, not in opposition to Huldah, or to Zephaniah, but in opposition to the false prophets who were coming up all over the place saying, God is with us. Don't worry. We have the temple. He would never get rid of his temple. He will never lose his people. He will never abandon us. We're not going to go into captivity to Nebuchadnezzar or to Babylon, even though everybody around us is being conquered, destroyed, and carried off in captivity. So, two different messages. The prophets of God are saying, your time is up. You have to pay for all of these offenses, these sins, these oppressions. And the prophets of the false prophets are giving people a message of peace. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. So Jeremiah set him up very early for a lot of trouble. As we know the story, he was constantly harassed, imprisoned, stuck into a well, but I get ahead of myself. As you can see, Jehoiakim lasted a few years. He was replaced by Jehoiachin, who was also called Jeconiah. He was the son of Jehoiakim, and he was coronated by Nebuchadnezzar, who, by this time, as I had mentioned earlier, Nebuchadnezzar was going around and conquering most of the cities and most of the places in all of the northern section of Israel. He was de deposing Assyria. He was taking over territory all over Judah, although he did not take Jerusalem because the king offered people and riches. So he took them, he coronated the new king, and he walked away to let them live in peace. Keep that in mind once we get to this story. The last king is King Zedekiah. He lasted 10 years. He was born Matanyahu, and he was the uncle of Jehoiachin. He was coronated by King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the last king of Judah, and we all know his story. He was blinded and imprisoned in Babylon, along with Jehoiachin, who rebelled against the king a few years after he was coronated. In a sense, the whole story of Jeremiah is played out between these kings that you see here on this screen. Now, let's get back to the rest of this. Okay. As I mentioned, there were a number of prophets during this time period. One of them did not write a book, but her name was Huldah. She was a prominent prophetess. Even though her husband, we would think that because of our gentrified world, that it would be the husband who would be the prophet, but it was not the husband. It was Huldah. Huldah was the prophet. And she was the prophet that King Josiah, after Josiah had heard, let's go back to Josiah for a moment. After Josiah had heard Zephaniah, and after he was listening to Jeremiah, which becomes very clear if you go back and reread those scriptures, you'll see that he is now being talked to by the actual prophets of God and not by these false prophets. This young king was cut to the heart and he changed his life around completely. By age 20, he had conducted reforms. But one of the things that he did was he wanted to confirm that the false prophets' prophecies were incorrect and that the prophecies of God were correct. So he sent his advisors to Huldah, the prophetess. And this is what her, this is where her word, this was, excuse me, these were her words to the young king from Adonai. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Adonai, thus will you say to him, thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, as for the words that you have heard, because your heart was softened and you humbled yourself before Adonai when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares Adonai. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your graves in Shalom. So your eyes will not see all the disaster I am bringing on this place. Then they brought the word back to the king. That account takes place in 2 Kings 22. The demise of King Josiah is in 2 Kings 23. As a matter of fact, in verses 29 through 30, if I remember correctly. So let's look at the, let's go ahead and look forward and put Habakkuk in his proper place historically. It takes place near the end of the kingdom of Judah. So we are looking at in the time period of the turmoil of the kings going back and forth. He did his pronouncements in Josiah's time and along with Zephaniah and Jeremiah, but God decided that based on the faithfulness of King Josiah to hold off taking the kingdom away from them. In fact, you're going to find out that God had another plan in place, which, if the kings had followed, would not have resulted in what happened. But I'm getting ahead of myself again. Okay, so first of all, the sages of Israel had a really hard time putting Habakkuk in the biblical timeline. This was not the early sages. This was the sages from the Middle Ages. One of them said that he was the son of the Shunammite woman who was resurrected by Elisha. Another put him many years ahead with Nahum and Joel in the time of Israel. And another had him intervening in the lion's den in Babylon, which would have been years later. So that's the view of the sages from the Middle Ages. I'm not one to go at wild speculations and have the prophets living hundreds of years unless the scriptures say so. So I don't put Habakkuk as the son of the Shunammite woman. I don't put him in the lion's den in Babylon. If he was in the lion's den in Babylon, I'm sure that that would have been recorded. He was not there. So based on his own words and his prayers, Judah has not yet fallen, and Nebuchadnezzar is coming and may have already engaged the region in warfare, but he had not conquered Jerusalem. That puts Habakkuk as a contemporary of Huldah, Jeremiah, and Zephaniah. So by the time of Habakkuk, his prophecies, the reforms of King Josiah have long passed away. The kings and the princes, the Kohanim, and the people are once again corrupted, rotten to the core. Again, look at that short time period of the succession of kings. It's with the exception of the last one, it was just one king after another, periods of corruption. The calamity that Zephaniah proclaimed was held back by the reforms of King Josiah, which we just mentioned. But now, in Habakkuk's time, I'm sorry, in Habakkuk's time, the destruction is imminent. If you are aware of the rest of the scriptures in the time period, then you're fully aware that there's also a second narrative that we sort of hinted at in the beginning. All right, what is that narrative? Let's talk about that for a moment. The fact is that Babylon is at war with all of Egypt. They didn't like the interventions that they did to try to defeat Assyria when they were trying to attack and defeat Assyria. The southern rulers from the present day Ethiopia are now dominating Egyptian politics. So the area that we call Ethiopia is now in power in the north, which to them would have been the south, but in the north of Egypt, that classical time period, classical place in the north of Egypt that we call Egypt, was actually considered the south in the times of, or in the history and the understanding of Egypt. Egypt has ruled the region all the way up to as far as Hitti, or as far as Turkey, modern day Turkey, for centuries. And now Assyria, who came in and took the land, is getting weakened by these constant attacks from the Babylonians. And the Babylonians are no longer just the Chaldeans. They have aligned themselves with the Medes and the Persians. So they are a lot stronger people than they were in the previous years. Even though Judah is beginning to rot from idolatry, Adonai has not given up on his people. This is the most amazing thing I want you to understand about this time period. Adonai had created a back door, a way to preserve the southern kingdom of Judah. All the people had to do was to make a choice. Even though the kingdom of Judah was rotten to the core with injustice, oppression, and idolatry, Adonai, Hashem, was willing to allow them to remain in their land, but it was going to require something really big, something that the people had not shown since they left Egypt: faith in the God of Israel. Let's look back at the back door that Adonai had planned for the people of Judah. You won't hear this very often. Most people don't point this out, but the facts are the facts, that God was not willing to allow Judah to go into captivity without giving them a choice to choose to live. In Jeremiah 27, verses 3 through 11, "Then send such to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of Ammon's children, to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of messengers that come to Jerusalem, to King Zedekiah of Judah." This is Adonai speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. "Charge them to their masters, saying, thus says Adonai Sevaot, the God of Israel, thus will you say to your masters." Listen carefully. "I have made the earth, mankind, and beast, which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and I give it to whom it seems right to me. So now I have given all these lands into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, my servant. I have given the beast of the field to serve him. All the nations will serve him, and his son and his grandson," which we know is Belteshazzar, "until the time of his own land comes, and then many nations and great kings will make him their slave. Now, it will be that the nation of the kingdom, which will not serve the same king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares Adonai, until I have destroyed it by his hand," Nebuchadnezzar's hand. "But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreams, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you from your land, so that I would drive you out and you would perish." Let me step away from the scripture for a moment. False prophets do not come from God. They don't receive a message of peace. They aren't trying to talk to the people in their best interest. They're trying to do the agenda of evil spirits who have been stirred up and who have been allowed to attack the people. Going back to verse 11 of Jeremiah 27, verse 11. But the nation that will bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation I will let remain in its land, and they will till it and dwell in it. It is a declaration of Adonai. Now, you all heard this. This is in Jeremiah. Adonai made a back door for his own people in Judah. The kingdom of Judah did not have to go into captivity. All that was required was a little trust. In very many ways, Habakkuk is like the modern man. There are a few men and women who study the Torah, they follow the covenant, the Moedim, and they keep the Shabbat. And yet everywhere around them, all they see is violence and corruption. Habakkuk prays out and cries out that there is no righteousness to save the victims of violence. This is often the hard gut feeling the righteous feel, even today. Don't deny it. When you hear stories of violence and corruption, it's a gut punch. It's like someone walked up and punched you in the gut by surprise. The prophet cynically calls men and nations in chapter one of Habakkuk, fit to be hooked and baited and dragged off in dragnets. In very many ways, the underlying message of the book of Habakkuk is very much a modern message. That's why we need to read it and to read it again and read it in the context of Jeremiah and read it in the context of our scriptures. God responds to the prophet. That's one beautiful thing about the God we serve. When he designates you as a prophet and he sends you out as a teacher to teach the people, you have the honor and the privilege of being able to ask him, what do you mean? Abraham did it. Moses did it. All of the prophets did it. They went back to God and they asked him for clarification. Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Look among the nations. Observe. Astonish yourself. Be astounded. For a work is being done in your days. You will not believe it if it were told. So I'm not going to go through the rest of that conversation. I don't want to take away from the readers. Listen for the rest of this conversation when we read it. Try to put yourself in the sandals of the prophet. You have cried out to God about the violence, the corruption, and the evil of our day. And guess what? The response to Habakkuk is the response to you. The response to this, what's going on right now, is the same response that God sent through Jeremiah. He is doing something, and we need to be alert to what he's doing and aware. All right. The news about Babylon disturbs Habakkuk more than the violence that he is accustomed to seeing. The prophet doesn't understand how a righteous God could bring a powerful nation like Neo-Babylonia up against his chosen people. If you weigh God's own words through Jeremiah and you put them in the balance, one message is very clear. The kingdom of Judah did not have to be wiped out and its people taken into captivity. They were given a choice between death, captivity, and faith. Remember Hashem's words to the nations. Now it will be that the nation or the kingdom, which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, declares Adonai, until I have destroyed it by his hand. It was the same message he sent to all the surrounding nations. Yield to the king of Babylon because he is my servant and I have given these lands into his hand. And it will go well with you. Remember how Paul tells us to pray for our leaders? It's important because things will go well for you if the leader is at peace. Does that sound familiar to anyone at all, what I just read about the choice given to the people. It should. You see, all you need to do is remember that from the very beginning, there were two trees in the garden. Adonai was simply giving to the people of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, the choice to choose life and to walk by faith. Perhaps that is why in Habakkuk 2, Adonai tells the prophet to write the vision down and make it plain so that he may run who reads it. Although that's awkward to read in English, it's not so awkward when you understand it in Hebrew. It's amazing how Hebrew has a way of cutting through understanding in our minds and in our brains. That word run in Hebrew is yarutz, and it literally means what Paul and the New Testament writers meant when they gave metaphors of running with faith in such a way that you receive a prize. The words who reads in Hebrew is kara, which literally means someone who proclaims or who calls out. So, what is this vision of the appointed time? The vision of the appointed time points to someone who runs to proclaim and who breathes and speaks or utters a message of faith. In Habakkuk 2, verse 4, Adonai tells Habakkuk, "Behold, the puffed up one, his soul is not right within him." But here's a phrase that most of us know, but we don't fully understand where it comes from. But the righteous will live by his trust. Said another way, but the righteous will attain life through trusting faithfulness. That last translation comes from the Complete Jewish Bible, Habakkuk, or Habakkuk 2, verse 4. The righteous will attain life through trusting faithfulness. Faith is one of the central messages of the Brit Hadashah, and we all know that it came through Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, the same Son of Man, the Messiah, whose teachings made faith the cornerstone. It was faith that was the cornerstone. And in doing so, that cornerstone has become a stumbling block for many. Even to this day, if walk by faith sounds familiar to you, it's because it is ancient. It pre-exists the children of Israel, Mount Sinai, and the Torah mitzvahs. I'll say it again. It's ancient. It pre-exists the children of Israel. It pre-exists Mount Sinai and the Torah mitzvahs. It pleases God better than animal sacrifices, which comes after failure and sin. It is how Noah found righteousness. It is also how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob pleased God. They believed him. They believed him. They trusted in him. They put their lives in his hands. If the people of Judah had believed like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that kingdom would still be there to this day. While Habakkuk is searching for answers and talking to God, Jeremiah is in jail. Let's just switch gears and go across town now. He confronted the false prophets and demonstrated how the kingdom was to be taken away, which angered the king and the priest. We don't know what happened to Huldah or Zephaniah, but we can guess that, like Baruch, Jeremiah's assistant, that their lives were spared. God said to Baruch back in Jeremiah 45, and listen to this, all of you who are tasked with giving the word of God to other people, however you do it, through prayer, through study, through teaching. Listen carefully to these words. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah, when he wrote these words in a scroll from the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, concerning you, Baruch. You said, 'Oy to me now, for Adonai has added sorrow to my pain.' I am worn out with groaning, and I find no rest. Thus shall you say to him, thus says Adonai, behold, what I have built, I will tear down, and what I have planted, I will uproot the whole land. But you are expecting great things for yourself. Seek no more, for I am about to bring calamity on all flesh. It is the declaration of Adonai. But I will grant you your soul as spoil in all places where you go, where you may go. Jeremiah 45, 1 through 5. So I don't have an understanding of what happened to Huldah or what happened to Zephaniah, other than what historians have said over the years. But I do know that Baruch and other servants were spared, even if sometimes it leads to their being taken by God. While it's likely Habakkuk heard about the plight of Jeremiah, one thing is certain. Chapter 2's dialogue with Adonai caused a fundamental change in the prophet. And in chapter 3, he composes a prayer, a literal psalm written for string instruments. He extols the sovereignty and the greatness of Adonai because he has come to understand how much more God is involved in everything, in history, in giving authority to others, in setting people up, or in his own words, what I have built, I will tear down, and what I have planted, I will uproot. Habakkuk comes to understand this, and he proudly declares that he will take joy in the God of his salvation. And now, let us read the book of Habakkuk.
Habakkuk chapter 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, Adonai, have I cried for help, yet you do not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not deliver. Why do you show me wickedness, and why must I behold mischief? Yes, devastation and violence are before me. There's strife and contention arises. Therefore, Torah has no effect, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked encircle the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations, observe, astonish yourself, be astounded, for a work is being done in your days. You will not believe it if it were told. For I'm about to raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter, impetuous nation, marching all over the land to seize dwellings not its own. Dreadful and terrifying, its justice and dignity derived from itself. Its horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Its horsemen come galloping. Its horsemen are coming from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping down to eat. All of them come for violence, an assembling of faces to the east. He gathers captives like sand. He scoffs at kings, and rulers are a joke to him. He laughs at every stronghold. He heaps up dirt and takes it. Then a wind sweeps through and passes on. He is guilty. This, his strength, is his God. Are you not from Antukati, Adonai, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Adonai, you have ordained him for judgment, as you, O Rock, have established him to chasten. With eyes too pure to see evil, you cannot look at such trouble. Why do you look at the treacherous? Why do you remain silent when a wicked one swallows up those more righteous than him? You made man like the fish of the sea, like a creeping thing, with no one ruling over him. He brings up all with hook and jaw, drags away in his dragnet, or gathers with his fishing net. Therefore, he rejoices with glee. Therefore, he sacrifices to his dragnet and offers incense to his fishing net. For through them, his portion is rich and his food abundant. Will he empty his net for this reason, continually slay nations with no compassion?
Chapter 2, and I will take my stand at my post and station myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer regarding my argument. Then Adonai answered me and said, write down the vision, make it plain on the tablets, so that the reader may run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end, and it will not fail. If it should be slow in coming, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, the puffed up one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his trust. Indeed, because this wine betrays, a proud man never rests. He enlarges his desire like Sheol, like death. He is never satisfied. So he gathers to himself all nations and collects all peoples for himself. Will not all take up a proverb against him or a scornful riddle about him? Oi to one expanding what isn't his. How long? Oi to one burdening himself with heavy debts. Will biting you arise suddenly? And those shaking you awaken as you will become plunder for them? Since you looted many nations, all the survivors will plunder you because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, the city, and its inhabitants. Oi to one surely getting unjust gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to escape the reach of calamity. You schemed shame for your house by cutting off many peoples, so going wrong yourself. For a stone will cry out from a wall, and wooden beams will answer. Oi to him who builds a city by bloodshed and establishes a town with injustice. Behold, is it not from Adonai Sabaoth that peoples toil to fuel a fire and nations exhaust themselves for emptiness? For the earth will be filled with knowing the glory of Adonai as the waters cover the sea. Oi to the one who makes his neighbor drink, who pours out your fury, and even making him drunk in order to gaze at his nakedness. You are filled with disgrace rather than glory. Drink, you too, and be uncircumcised. The cup of Adonai's right hand will surround you, and disgrace will come upon your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will spread over you, destruction of beasts terrifying them because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, the city, and to all its inhabitants. What use is an idol when its craftsman has carved it, or a metal image a teacher of lies? Where a craftsman has trusted in the image that he created to make dumb idols. Oi to one who says to wood, awake! To a dumb stone, rouse yourself. Can it teach? Look, it's plated with gold and silver, but it has no spirit within it. But Adonai is in his holy temple. Let all the land be silent before him.
Chapter 3, A Prayer of Habakkuk, the Prophet, as a Passionate Song. Adonai, I have heard the report about you, and I have come to fear. Adonai, revive your work throughout the years. Throughout the years, make it known in wrath. Remember compassion. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His majesty covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth with brilliance like light. Rays emanate from his hand. There his power was hidden. Pestilence goes before him. A fiery bolt goes forth at his feet. He stood and the earth shook. He looked and startled nations. Ancient mountains were scattered. Hills of antiquity sank down. His ways are everlasting. I saw tents of Cushan under calamity. The curtains of the land of Midian are trembling. Adonai, is your wrath against rivers, or your anger at the rivers, or is your fury with the sea? For you ride on your horses, your chariots of salvation, your bow is laid bare. Swarm are rods, a decree, Selah. You cleave the land with rivers, the mountains saw you and wreath. A downpour of water overflows, the deep gives its voice, it lifts up. Hands high. Sun and moon stand in lofty abode. At the flash of your arrows, they go, at the radiance of the lightning of your spear. With indignation,
You paced the land. With anger, you threshed nations. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the deliverance of your anointed one. You scattered the head of the house of the wicked to lay it bare, from foundation up to the top, Selah. You have pierced his chief rulers with his own staff. They stormed in to scatter me. Their exultation is like devouring the weak in secret. You marched forth, your horses in the sea, much water foaming. I heard and my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay comes into my bones. I tremble where I stand, since I must wait quietly for a day of distress to come up against the people who will invade us. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no yield on the vines, though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no cattle in the stalls. Yet will I triumph in Adonai. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Adonai, my Lord, is my strength. He has made my feet like a deer's and will make me walk on high places. For the choir director are my stringed instruments. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much to those who read tonight. I want to get across one last thing, and then we will go ahead and begin the live discussion section. The people of the kingdom of Judah did not have to go into captivity. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah spoke directly to Zedekiah, and he told him, if you surrender, the king will leave you, will allow you to continue to live. But Zedekiah, not believing, took it upon himself that he could escape. So he tried to go out the back way, and he was captured. His sons were captured and killed. His eyes were put out with a hot poker, and he was carried off in chains in captivity to Babylon and placed in a prison. And as we mentioned last week, on the anniversary of his release from prison, he was brought out with the previous king, who is King Jehoiachin, and they were allowed to eat at the table of Nebuchadnezzar. That had to be bittersweet for Zedekiah, because in his mind, he had to know that if he had chosen to listen to Jeremiah and to the other prophets of his time, that he would not have lost his kingdom, he would not have lost his son, he would not have lost his sight. But one thing is clear, he did not live much longer after the time of his release. It's believed that he lived two more days. And so he was able to see the grandson. He was able to see the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, exactly as Jeremiah has said. But he was not able to see him with sight. He was able to eat at his table before the kingdom was again taken from Nebuchadnezzar, exactly as God had prophesied. Thank you very much for coming. I wish you all well. I hope you take the time to read all of the books of the Holy Scriptures. They all have their place. This book introduced a concept that overtook and overwhelmed the Brit Hadashah or the New Testament. It seems like out of nowhere, people speak about walking in faith, when in fact, it's a very ancient principle. Behold the puffed up one. His soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by his trust. And said another way, but the righteous will attain life through trusting faithfulness. Have a great night. I wish you all well. Thank you for joining us on our journey through Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Savuot, In the day I will make my own special possession, so I will spare them as one spares his son serving him. Malachi 3:16 through 17.